are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Our television audience, we welcome you here from Tshwane. Thank you for being with us today. We know that God loves you. God's got a great plan with your life. And today God is going to touch you through this television camera. God is going to touch you and your life will never be the same. Those of you on Facebook Live, we welcome you. Those watching on every social media platform, we welcome you here from Tshwane, the capital of South Africa. Come on, let's welcome all the people with us. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, the Bible says in verse 2, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. I've seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, no, just like me, you have a great dream sitting here this morning. Can you say amen? I mean, every human being should have a dream. We should dream about a better tomorrow. We should dream about a great future. Because God says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Think about it for a moment. The beginning of the year, all our farmers were staring a crop failure in the face. And now we've got the biggest maize crop, the biggest millet crop that South Africa has ever seen. Oh, come on. God has turned a negative into a positive. I think that is something awesome that God has done in our country. So today I want to talk to you about these waiting periods in your life. What do we do when we have a dream and then suddenly we find ourselves in the waiting room? Because we all have a dream and we want to see our dreams fulfilled tomorrow. I'm sure you're just like me, very patient. God, give me patience and give it to me now. The reality is that life is a journey and not everything will happen according to our time frame and according to our plans. But we have to realize that God is in control and that God will make all things beautiful in its time. These waiting periods are never easy. As a matter of fact, they can become rather frustrating in our lives if we allow them. But they don't have to be. Because during these waiting periods, God is working in us. God is building character in us. So we can take these delays and turn them into something beautiful and positive. It should not be a time of frustration and discouragement. That's why James says in James chapter 1, consider it a sheer gift, my friends, when tests and challenges come to you from all sides. Really, James, that's not what we would say this morning. We don't like to go through storms and trials and tribulations, but yeah, the Apostle James comes and he says, count it a sheer gift. The New King James Bible says, count it all joy when you go through various tests, trials, and tribulations. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. So what is God saying? When you are experiencing the detours of life, the delays of life, the derails of life, the disappointments of life, the discouragements in life, don't give up. Count it all joy because God is orchestrating your deliverance. Count it all joy because God is working in you both to will and do His good pleasure. So let's remember this morning, number one, that God has His own sense of timing. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, the Bible says, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Number two, God's timing is perfect. He's never early and He's never late. Amen. We want God to bless us yesterday. God says, I'll get you to the right place at the right time with the right person. Because you will learn that I'm in God and I'm in control. So every delay in your life is not my denial. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. So I want you to know today that God is not limited by your timetable. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 2 or verse 3 in the Living Translation again. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely. God, why could you not say quickly? Why must it be slowly, steadily, surely? Because we want to dream today and have the boardroom tomorrow. We want to dream today and have the crop tomorrow. We want to dream today and be in the palace tomorrow. But God says, my dream for your life will come to pass slowly, steadily, and surely. We don't like the slow, we don't like the steadily, and we don't like the surely. We rather want to go toy-toy and make our demands heard. And that's okay to toy-toy, but your toy-toy will not get you from the prison to the palace. Come on, somebody say amen or ayna. God says the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair. It may take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 13 years, 40 years, 25 years Abraham, 13 years Joseph, 17 years David, 14 years the Apostle Paul. Do not despair. Do not despair. Do not get discouraged. Don't abandon your hopes. Don't abandon your dreams, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. Patient. They will not be overdue a single day. Then number three, God is never in a hurry, but He's always on time. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. So God promises to fulfill His word in your life in His time frame. And we want to talk about that. What do we do during these waiting periods? Do we go buy a lazy boy and we go chill out at the coast somewhere and we just wait for God to manifest His dream, His vision? What is this resting all about? How do we rest? What should I do from the dream to the fulfillment of the dream? God already says there will be delays, there will be detours. So I don't want to cause further delays in my life. What is God requiring of me during these waiting times? I spoke to a friend of mine once. He's a pastor in Europe. And he said, I just love, and his church wasn't growing or anything. He said, I just love to go sit in the presence of God every day for hours and I allow the Holy Spirit to pray for me. I said, hey, bro, you need to do more than the Holy Spirit pray for you. You need to do some praying. Come on, the Holy Spirit takes hold together with you against your infirmities. So when we talk about waiting, we're not talking about a passive waiting. As a matter of fact, the word wait means to serve, to do something. Amen. So we want to look at what to do. After 1 year, you're still in the same place. You've been believing God to get married. You're still not married. You've been believing God for your miracle. You still don't have your miracle. You've been believing God for your healing. You still don't have your healing. It's taken 2 days, 3 days. I mean, some people get so impatient. They pray on a Sunday, and if things don't change tomorrow, they're disheartened and discouraged. That's why we read in the Bible, and James says, we have to take heart. We have to rejoice. We have to count it all joy when we go through various tests, trials, and tribulations, because our faith is being forced into the open so that we can do something about our faith. If I go to gym and I want to bench press 100 kilograms and I can't even bench press 20 kilograms, how many of you know the 100 kilograms are going to damage me? So when I go to gym, my true strength is revealed. Not how I look, but when I face pressure, you can see what the measure of the man is. Well, that's what the Apostle James says. He says, when you're going through trial, tribulation, your faith is forced into the open. Not so that you can go feel sorry for yourself, but that so that you can be proactive and change the way you apply the laws of faith in your life. What do you do during the waiting periods of your life? So many people become cynical and negative and bitter, and they negotiate with God on a plan B, or they try and help God. So we want to see what God says this morning, because the waiting room is not a place you choose for yourself. When you find yourself on the shelf of life, when you find yourself on the sideline of life and you've been obedient to God and it just happens, you already experience the fruit of the land and suddenly there's a dearth. There's a wait. What do I do? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to help you this morning. Somebody say praise God. Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So there's a clue already. J.B. Phillips' translation says a man's harvest in life is based entirely upon the seed he has sown in the past. So your future is determined by what you do today. Not where you are today determines where you are tomorrow. Listen very clearly. What you do today determines your tomorrow. It really doesn't matter where you are, because your location does not determine your destination. But your activity in your location and in your journey will determine your destination, whether you arrive on time or whether you arrive there at all. So we may not be where we want to be, but thank God we're not where we used to be. Come on, we're all better. We're all on a journey. Come on, we all a work of progress. Somebody say amen, give the Lord praise. Kom daar in Tromsberg, loop die Here met die tromme. Tromsberg, tromme. Slaan sommer die stoel daar as aan die tromme is nie. So he says in verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And let us not grow weary in doing good. Doing good is sowing the right seed. For in due season is God's perfect timing, we shall reap the reward if we do not lose heart. So I want to tell you this morning, number one, that your harvest is on its way. I want to tell you, number two, that your breakthrough is on the way. I want to tell you that in due season, you will reap the reward if you do not grow weary. You say, Pastor, weary in what? Weary in doing good. Weary in doing the right thing. Weary in sowing the right seed. Because often when people go through a difficult time, the first thing they stop doing is they stop sowing seed. They go through betrayal, and rather than sowing forgiveness, they harbor bitterness, resentment, and they tell their friends about how they were hurt. You need to be very intentional and very prayerful and careful, if I can say that, that when wrong things are done to you, you have to be very intentional to sow the right seed. And not to live a reactive life, but a proactive life. Not to live a reactive life, but a responsive life. When bad things are done to you, you can do good things. When wrong things are done to you, you can do the right thing. Because God's word is not bound. Come on. We live by the law of seed time and harvest. Think about Joseph for a moment. Joseph, the father's blue-eyed boy, who has this amazing dream of rulership, and then he is sold into slavery by his brothers. I mean, Joseph could have given up on his dream after the false accusation which landed him in prison, but he did not. He kept on sowing the right seed. Wherever he found himself, you will see what? Joseph is a servant. God is with him. And I want to tell you today that God is always with you. No matter what is happening to the economy in our country, no matter what is happening in your physical body today, no matter what is happening in your business today, you need to know today that God is with you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Come on, you need to give the Lord a praise if you believe it today. Oh, come on, shout hallelujah. So what is Joseph doing? He's sowing the right seed for his dream. His dream is one of rulership. So what does God require? Servanthood. I mean, today young people have a dream, and the millennial generation all over the world, they have this entitlement mentality. Well, if I have a big dream, it's just going to happen. No, everything happens through the law of seed time and harvest. So Joseph has this big dream of rulership, and God says, okay, you need to sow the right seed. You need to go through the journey to learn what servanthood is about. Because if you cannot serve, you cannot rule. Because he that would be great in God's kingdom learned to be servant. So we dream today, and then many young people make this mistake in our country. They get a job and they pull their nose up at the job. It's like it's beneath me, Pastor. Well, the only place that you start at the top is a grave digger and an oil well digger. Amen. Everybody else starts at the bottom. You have to learn to serve. Joseph, you want to be ruler, then learn to serve. Well, that's not the journey that Joseph would have chosen. Joseph lived in his father's house, the entitled son. Everybody bowed to Joseph. But God knew for Joseph to fulfill his dream, Joseph had to sow the right seed. So God worked out his journey, a journey that taught him to serve, to sow and sow and sow until the time of God came to release him. And I want to tell you, the time will come where God will release you. The time will come where the right door will open. The time will come where God will bless you. Come on, the time will come where God will promote you. All you have to do is be intentional about sowing the right seed. Come on, shout amen and give the Lord a praise. I mean, think about it. Joseph could have been so disillusioned at what had happened to him. He could have sown the seed of hatred, anger, and resentment, but he did not. He chose to guard his heart. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart more than anything else, for out of it flow the issues of life. So your future flows out of the innermost part of your heart. The literal translation says the boundaries of your life will be determined what is happening in your heart. So Joseph protected his heart when wrong things were done. I mean, he could have been mad, but he wasn't. Could have been angry like many young people in our country, but he wasn't. He chose to walk in forgiveness. He chose to walk in the favor of God. He chose to bless and not curse. Can you say amen? He chose to be proactive. He chose to be the best he could possibly be in the places he did not want to be. So he served. Didn't sit there and complain. I don't deserve this. No, he didn't deserve it. But he was there. So he had to make the best of a bad situation. And so must you. I'm doing all the work and I'm not getting a fair salary. Well, thank God for the salary that you are getting. Trust God because he's your source. Don't be like everybody else and complain and murmur and just be bitter through life. Believe in your future. Sow hard work. Sow loyalty. Sow faithfulness. Sow integrity. Sow discipline. Sow being on time. Because what you sow today will determine your tomorrow. You're not a victim. He did not allow the detours, the delays, the disappointments of life to define him. He knew he was defined by the favor of God and by the call of God. You are defined by what God says about your future and not by what you are going through right now in Jesus' name. So if you believe your future, you will be focused upon what you should do now to secure your tomorrow in Jesus' name. Think about Moses. 40 years, he's feeding his father-in-law's sheep. Moses, who grew up in the courts of Pharaoh. Moses, who was a very eloquent man. He's now, for 40 years of his life, all he does is he looks after, bah. What you're doing today, Moses? Bah. Bah, bah, black sheep, blah, bah. Bah, 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 baram. Bah, bah, bah. That's his life. It's just like, bah, bah, nothing. Shepherd, bah, smell like sheep, bah. So you've been in the same place, bah. You've been in the same place and it seems like nothing is changing in your life. Don't let your attitude change. You better stay optimistic. You better stay proactive in your workplace. You better sow the right seed. You better go there with a good attitude, energetic. Oh, praise God, I have another day to look after sheep today. Ah, I'm going to be the best keeper of sheep. Ah, oh, come on, somebody. Pa, 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 baram. Come on, somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Be the best you that you possibly can be because you are preparing yourself for your future. Hallelujah. God was preparing Moses to rule his people. So we had to learn to serve. Everybody reads books today on 3 steps to success. There are no 3 steps. There are 3 million steps. That's the Bible. David, anointed king. 17 years he has to run for his life. David looked after his father's sheep. So never think something is beneath you. The Bible says whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Never complain and murmur because you will fail the test and you will have to redo the test. Because you cannot manipulate God. God watches the attitude of your heart when he puts you through the test. When I was working in a coffee bar for 2 years wanting to change the world as an evangelist, the Lord tried and tested my attitude. When I went to Lady Brand for 5 years wanting to be a crusade evangelist, the Lord tested and tried my attitude. There will be no promotion if you do not pass the test that God puts before you. Somebody say amen. So when the lion or the bear came, he was faithful. He didn't say, well, you know, it's my father's sheep. It's my father's losses. It's not my losses. You watch many people in the ministry. They work in another man's ministry and they don't care about the losses of that man. And then one day they want their own church. What do you think? Because whatever a man sows, that will he surely reap. He put his life at risk for his father's sheep. So God says, I can trust this man because he's not in it for himself. He's not a man pleaser. He's a God pleaser. Come on. The greatest test you will write is when nobody else is watching but God. When you have all the reason in the world to get negative, all the reason in the world to give up, all the reason in the world to slander, all the reason in the world to get even, but you choose not to. I learned these principles as a young man. When those business people came to me in Bloemfontein, when I was in Ladybrand, trying to preempt the will of God, wanting me to start a church in Bloemfontein before my time, had I done that? Had I stepped ahead of God, I would not be here. Because they were all people that were unhappy in other churches, and then they come, no, you're the one. I said, no. If you can't find a church, the problem is not with the church, the problem is with you. You're the problem. So I'm not going to be a pastor of people that just criticize other pastors. I'm not interested. No deal. Because what you sow, you think you can go split the church and you're going to be okay? You're not going to be okay. Because what you sow, you reap. You think you can go just gossip and you're going to be okay? Hey, Miriam and Aaron were gossiping and the Lord heard them. I said, okay, have some leprosy. The Bible is clear. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. So people have these amazing dreams and then they sow weeds. They sow, not weed that you smoke, they sow... They're just like a holy, just chaos. The groot gemors. There's no intent. There's no deliberate action. There's my dream. What should I be sowing if I want to see that dream fulfilled? Although it's in the hands of God, when I'm in a season where I'm not reaping, I must be in a season where I am sowing. Because sowing and reaping are two different seasons. So if I'm not in my harvest, I have to be very intentional about my seed that I'm sowing. My thoughts, my words, my actions. Because everything I think, say, do affect my tomorrow. Well, God did that, so nobody can say, well, God, you were unfair towards me. Acts 10:34, the Bible says, God is no respecter of persons. He gives us principles. He gives you a dream, then he says, okay, there's a journey. It's not the journey that you want, but I give you the keys in that journey. And the keys are seed time and harvest. So if your dream is to have your own, you have to learn to be faithful, the Bible says, in that which is another man's. You're not going to have your own if you're not faithful in that which is another man's. You want to be a financial channel. Lord, bless me because give me 100 mil, I give you 10 mil. Praise the God. God says, no, you won't because I gave you 1,000, you never gave me 100 rand. I gave you 10 rand, you never gave me 1 rand. Stop, because you're not interested in my kingdom. What you're interested in is you want a better car, you want a better house, you don't want to serve my purpose for your life. So I'll find somebody else. I mean, Joseph could have bailed out of this journey anytime. Could have got a bad attitude. He wouldn't have been in the Bible. God's still writing the Bible. So I want to finish strong on that day. I'm glad you're all happy and excited, but I'm telling you the truth. Because this is the nitty and gritty. It's what you say when you and your wife sit by yourself. It's your attitude when you're all by yourself. It's what you say about the preacher when he's not there. It's what you say about your boss when he's not there. And then you see him and you say, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you. How about just loving, man? How about just being real? Not love and then stand with a dagger in your hand. I mean, many people don't progress because they have no integrity. They're just sowing anything. Bitterness, resentment, strife, division, chaos, anger, dissension, and then they think it's okay. It's not okay. No wonder your marriage is in a mess. No wonder your mind has no peace. Because you're sowing discord in other people's lives. So any farmer knows that to sow and to reap are different seasons. Any farmer knows that if he has seed in the ground, he has to be very intentional to water the seed and to keep the weeds out, keep the attitudes out, keep the wrong relationships out, keep that which can corrupt your heart out. Water the seed, the soil, until the harvest comes. Until. No farmer digs up the seed. No farmer tells his wife, I don't think the seed is growing. The farmer waters the seed. The farmer knows there is a law that the Bible talks about. The law of seed time and harvest. So I'm going to say it again. If you're not in your harvest yet, you are in the season of seed time. There's a lot of people that don't get financial breakthrough because they withhold. Bible says there's those who withhold more than is right. The Bible says in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which one will prosper. So in the morning, love your wife. In the evening, love your wife. In the morning, compliment your wife. 11 o'clock, compliment your wife. 12 o'clock, compliment your wife. And send the compliment back to your husband. Women, don't just be receivers. Give back to your husband. Amen. Sow back to your husband. You want a great marriage? Use the law of seed time and harvest. You're going through a storm? Don't talk about your storm. Don't run to the counseling department and say, oh, how great is my storm. Oh, how great is the darkness. No, God gave you the principle, the law of seed time and harvest. You can change your adversity. You can change your storms. You can change your negatives into a positive through applying the word of God diligently and patiently sowing towards your harvest. Not, it's not working and I'm going to give it a go. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to divorce. Well, you better go divorce because you're not committed. The farmer is committed, but most Christians are not. The businessman wants to see a breakthrough in his business, but he doesn't sow his finances. He doesn't give his tithe. He doesn't give his offering, and he expects God to rewrite the Bible. God is not going to rewrite the Bible. God watches over the word to perform the word in your life. And we just read the Bible. It's very clear. If we do not grow weary while doing good, we will reap in due season. Our breakthrough will come if we do not grow weary in doing good. Shout amen, someone, in Jesus' name. It's like people want the Bible Plus. I have no Bible Plus. The only thing that will get you through these storms is walking on the Word. Matthew 7, building your house on the Word. The one is a hearer and his house collapses. The other one is a doer and he goes through the storm. I never wrote this Bible. And people are born again for 50 years and they still don't honor God with the least, the Bible says, with their finances. And they never have enough money. Well, the Bible says the devourer will plunder your goods. I can't help you. If you're not honoring God, what can I do for you? Nothing. So Joseph had to sow the right principles until the time of the Lord. So you sow and you water, 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 you sow and you water and you water and you water and you water and you get the seed out of despondency, the weed of discouragement, the weed of gossip, whatever else comes to try and defile your spirit, Jackie, you have to keep it out. You have to guard your own heart. Nobody else can. Amen. So Ecclesiastes 11, the Bible says, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So we're always sowing. So we can never stop serving, guarding our hearts, blessing others, forgiving, declaring, praying, weeding, giving, finances, because our seed today will secure our harvest tomorrow. So the time to sow your best seed is during the waiting seasons of your life, in the famine, in your prison hour, just like Joseph. It is during the waiting times that we learn invaluable lessons. We learn to be faithful, because you don't know where your heart is until you're in the wilderness. Number two, you learn to grow and mature in Christ. Number three, you learn to live dependent on God, because most successful people can somehow help themselves. So if God doesn't come through, there's a plan B, C, D, E, F. But then there are those things that come where no plan B, C, D, E, F is going to work in your life. You're going to have to get one-on-one with God. You're going to have to go draw into the presence of God and be honorable to the instruction of God and the dream towards your life. Amen. Because you can have a committee agree with you, but lead you down a wrong path, like I did. Those people who came in the combi. Now remember, Lady Brand was a small little church. These all were big business people. So they're coming, they're saying, we're going to support your ministry. Also in a little building project, 300-seater. And I'm smart enough to realize that there's no shortcut. I'm not going to have a shortcut here quickly and make things easy for me and pray the long-term price. Because what goes around comes around. What I do today determines tomorrow. It's a law. So we learn that God is ultimately in control. Hallelujah. If God meant it, it will be. No devil, no man, no committee can stop what God has for you. That's why people get madder and madder and madder, because God will bless you. And people will say, why God? Why are you blessing him? Because he is applying the word of God and you are not. You're sucking your thumb. He's applying the word of God and God watches over the world. Amen. Oh, come on, smile. I'm helping somebody here this morning. Say amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. You learn to live victorious as a Christian. So we don't want to cause further delays by not being intentional about sowing the right seed during the waiting times of our lives. I mean, you're so discontent in a man's ministry, you will reap that discontent in your business. You sow strife in a man's ministry, you will reap that strife in your marriage. It's a law. You break somebody else down, somebody will break you down. It's a law. Like people think they can just say hallelujah and everything. No! You live by the law of seed time and harvest. I taught my children since they were born, I said, don't say anything negative, don't talk about people. Of course, when you put somebody else down, somebody else is going to put you down. Careful! Woo! Young couples, careful! You'll be your own worst enemy by your tongue that has diarrhea. But you can't control your tongue, you can control nothing. Right? Faith operates through your mouth. So you can't curse people and expect to bless your life. Can't. You can't sow good seed and weed. So I mean, this is for me very clear, the Bible, because Genesis chapter 8 verse 22, the Bible says, since the beginning, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. Now you watch any person that God used and blessed, you watch the journey and you watch how they had to sow the right seed for the dream to be fulfilled. Not just clickety-click, barber trick, here they go from A to Z. No. And they all had to guard their hearts. They all had the opportunity to be bitter, bent out of shape, offended. So you offended, what must Jesus do? He can do nothing. I mean, you counsel people sometimes, you say, but you don't understand. I know I don't understand, but Jesus understands. And he said, if your brother sins against you, forgive him. Shut up and forgive him. Don't go tell everybody else about your issue. So we cause a lot of obstacles in our own lives. We don't even realize it. We have a go at somebody over there and suddenly things don't work in our lives. Because faith works by love. You can't talk about a brother and say you're walking in love. It's impossible. Why are you all so quiet now? I'm not even teaching the love walk. It's like you binding the devil. No, you have to bind your tongue, man. Bind your tongue. Bind your attitude. Bind your temper. Bind your bitterness. Bind your resentment. Amen. I don't know why Holy Ghost is taking me down that road, but obviously many of you need to hear this. Because you have this dream and you say what you want about anybody. I mean, David was smart enough, even though he's the anointed king, and Saul is there, he can kill Saul. He says, touch not my anointed. You don't want to. I don't care, this prophet, that prophet, they may do things. I'll not by name say that is not a man of God. Careful what you say. He might just be a man of God. Then you get yourself in big trouble. Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. People think they can say what they want and it's not going to affect them. You better be careful. I don't say anything about an anointed man of God. As a matter of fact, not about a Christian. So you and your wife, you get your tails, track your staff in the krill, and you're going to go up a tantrum. And after 30 minutes, you've pulled every pastor in Pretoria to pieces. Who do thou thinkest thou art? This is the number one thing why people don't fulfill the see things manifested, the love walk. They're careless about their attitude towards their brothers and their sisters. Ruthless. And they're causing problem upon problem in their own lives. Because they've not learned that this is a love walk. More than anything else, it is a love walk. And everything flows from love, like Joseph. He never attacked his brothers. He covered them, loved them. And God blessed him. Don't err in the love walk. Don't. Do not err in the love walk. You will delay God's journey seriously in your life. Listen, especially if you're thinking about ministry. Do not err in the love walk. You'll find yourself on the sideline, not God's doing, but your own foolishness. Foolishness. Hypocrisy. Okay, can't tell somebody I love you and then you talk about them. Next time you see that person, you should say, I've been talking about you. Not, oh, hello, Jack, how are you? But you've just been talking nonsense about Jack all week. And you wonder why you've got chaos, no peace in your own life. Because you think in the spirit world you can just do what you want to. Throw a tantrum, wave your fist at God, and it's just okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. I didn't see Joseph in prison waving his fist at God saying, God! I just see Joseph making the best of a terrible situation. And every time God is with him. And God sustains him and God protects him. Amen? Is that okay? No, Pastor, but it's okay with me to tell you the truth. Because I'm saving some people's destinies if they have ears to hear. I've learned long ago when the Holy Ghost turns the whole service to make a point. Because some are erring. And it's going to cost you your destiny. Because you're just there in your emotions, in your sentiment. Think about Joseph, man. He could have been crying all the time. Sow the right seed with great intention when wrong things are done against you. Mark chapter 4, I have to close, verse 26. The Bible says, he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed into the ground and should sleep night and rise by day. The seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. So the Bible is very clear. The man, kingdom of God is God's modus operandi, the way God does things in the earth. Kingdom of God operates this way. Not other way, this way. As if a man scatters seed in the ground and the seed grows by itself. Now, we started today Galatians where Paul says, but be intentional. You sow to the flesh, you will reap to the flesh. You sow to the spirit, you will reap to the spirit. So you cannot sow good seed and bad seed and expect a good harvest. You have to sow the right seed. Whatever God's future is for you. If it is to be a great politician, a journey of servanthood. If it's a great sportsman, then you're going to have to exercise and practice. A great evangelist, then you're going to have to be faithful as a home cell leader when no one is watching. A great worship leader, you're going to have to be faithful towards your current worship leader, even if you think you know better than that current worship leader. It's not about your knowledge. It's about the principles that you apply. If you cannot sow faithfulness, you will never have a ministry where people will sow faithfulness back unto you. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he surely reap. What you sow to today, you will reap tomorrow. Come on, be encouraged today that you will reap your harvest in the right time, in God's timing, if you do not grow weary while doing good. Come on, if you receive the word today, stand to your feet to with me all over the country and give the Lord a bit of a praise. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, it's a good word.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you are the Christ. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Please forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. Give me the power today to be a true child of God. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you for accepting me just as I am. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.